Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well today. How about you?
I'm doing fabulous on this beautiful Monday morning. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the September 27th blood moon eclipse, which was a rare event, actually happened last night. This moon was a perigee, and according to NASA, has occurred five times in the 1900s. This event is a part of the lunar tetrad, including eclipses of April 15th of 2014, October 8th, 2014, and April 4th, 2015. Each occurrence is 6 months apart and has five full moons between them. We'll talk about the 1-2-3 effect of an event and how it will make it more potent. This lunation is a harvest moon and part of a sorrow cycle. Listen in as we discuss the importance of planetary influence on our earthly life. And join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and the opening of your sun-moon center. So, Swami, I know it was a pretty important event last night. There was a lot going on with that eclipse. I don't even know where we should get started. So should we just talk about what a supermoon is first?
Well, I guess the concept of the supermoon is that because it is so close to the Earth that it will appear much bigger than it normally would. And when we're having an event like this, one of the things that I always like to do is I really like to refer back to my journal, and especially when there are dates associated with it. Like you said, that this is a part of a tetrad, and there are three other lunations that you can look at and explore, and plus it is part of a sorrow cycle, which is on an 18-year cycle. So this can bring you all the way back to 1997, that you can actually go back and maybe start to see, where was I 18 years ago? And then looking in a journal is really helpful, like I say, because it will give you tangible information that you could start to process based on what happened today or yesterday, if that helps you at all.
You know, I think it does, and we've discussed about other eclipses in the past too and how to best take advantage of that type of energies. Now, I had read that a supermoon eclipse that happened last night isn't going to happen again for another 18 years. But at the same time, we don't want to wait for these big events to happen. I know there are things that we can be doing every day to further ourselves along our spiritual path, you know, without having to take advantage of these eclipses.
Yeah, or better yet, wait for the eclipse to make it happen for you. That the eclipse is just a biosphere of energy, and the responsibility is still put on the individual. And so the advantage to the eclipse, or any eclipse really, is that the sun, the moon, and the earth are in alignment. And when you think of a spiritual practice, and especially the way that we teach it, more as the physics of spirituality, so that it's not just an intellectual accomplishment, but you're attuning yourself to this invisible, intangible, this concealed deity that, you know, we all talk about, but how many of us are really connected to it? Because when you look around and you see what the books promise, the changes that it brings, and you look at what's happening globally, because that's one of the things that I think is really valuable about this particular lunation or this series of eclipses, is that it happens, they happen in the zodiacal signs of Aries and Libra. And the Aries-Libra axis is really all about I and the other. And this is a great axis to work with on a regular basis, because what surrounds us is within us. And so one of the things I remember growing up with is that we had an expression, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Mm-hmm. The whole thing of like attracts like. And so when you are trying to figure out who am I, one of the best things to do is to look around you. And a lot of times what we have a tendency to do is we polarize and see ourselves as separate, and we don't see that we're an intricate part of what is around us and how what is around us is mirroring things that are really at work within us. Because to be able to look at those events, circumstances, people that we bring into our lives, and to be able to evaluate them honestly, and a lot of times it's very easy to criticize someone else. And that's one of the exercises that we are always doing here, is I always recommend that you criticize those around you, to sit down on the computer and tell so-and-so everything that you think they need to do to correct their lives. And then hit replace, take their name out and put yours in, mm-hmm. and then read it back to yourself. Because that's the real power of the Aries-Libra access for me, is to be able to actually recognize that what is around me is actually a projection of what is within me. And that's where I can put most of my efforts. Rather than blaming you for something, I can actually now start to take responsibility and maybe actually start to make some internal changes. And that is more of the process of assimilation, identification, that I think you really get the benefit of, say, for example, a lunation like we had last night, or this series of lunations in this particular zodiacal axis.
Wow, that's a fabulous exercise to do. I think I'll actually do that a little later. That is awesome. You reminded me of when you said, show me your friends and I'll show you who you are. That must be why my parents, why they like your friends or don't like your friends, because they don't want you to become what your friends are. That must be why they have such a judgment on the people that you hang out with as children, because that's something that you're going to take with you into your adult life.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, especially today when we're really not plugged into the process and development that we talk about here. The whole thing of, you know, points of passage, rites of passage, the whole thing of separating from our pattern. Because when they are doing statistical studies with teenagers today, it's really not sex and drugs that motivate them. It's peer pressure. So one of the ways of being able to try and cope or manage that is hoping that you at least surround yourself with people that would attune you to behaviors that are more in sync with our society's aspirations, if that helps.
You know, it does. So if somebody is on their, you know, they're on the road, they're on the spiritual path. I know you talked about journaling before and how that is definitely helpful to keep you on point, and you can check where you've been in the past and so on. So somebody today, what would be the best advice you can give them to take advantage of this type of energy that's happening right now? And then how long does this energy generally last? Is it a couple of days?
Well, the lunar eclipses don't have the same duration that the solar eclipses have. These here will last, it will last maybe a couple of months. They are pretty significant, and especially this one, it had so much that was attached to it. But as far as what am I going to do with that? I mean, the optimal thing to do with an eclipse, like I said, is to attune yourself with the divine. And what does that mean? Because it can mean anything to anybody, and it's all going to be determined by what you think the divine is. And that's also where it starts to fall apart, because when you're using what I call a traditional metaphysical system, you're using a trinity as the underpinnings of your reality system. And to me, I would even say use the scientific model, the one that has now been laid out through quantum physics, you know, that underlying matter is energy, and underlying energy is the void. Because it's very easy to mistake the realms of energy for the void. Matter is visible and tangible. Energy is invisible but tangible. And the void is invisible and intangible. Mm-hmm. And so when you really try and attune yourself to something that's invisible and intangible, it's a tough catch. And one of the reasons why the term is used in the religious community, the whole thing that you have to believe that it exists, because our senses can't perceive it. And one of the ways that I really try and explain it in a way that it does have pragmatic application is that it's your number one need. It's the force right now that's supporting your life. And if you have a sense of connectedness to it, and you can internalize it in your physical body as the symbol that your body uses now to produce the feeling that it's happy, then changes begin to take place. But again, before you can get it into your body, you have to purify your body. Again, it's not just an intellectual accomplishment. It's not this intellectual devotional mirage that most people call spiritual. It's physics.
I remember we were talking last night with some of the folks that came to Mantra, and you were talking about demonic possession and angelic possession, and how one of your students there was saying they didn't realize that there could be such thing as angelic possession, and then you were talking how it was from the astral plane and how that can stunt our spiritual growth.
Yeah, exactly, because you're in the realms of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing wrong with particles, waves, or the indivisible unified field. The problems manifest is when you don't have a clear distinction between them. You don't have a clear understanding that of what energy field you're in. And, of course, that's why the Bible is loaded with the concept of false gods. And the Yoga Sutras makes reference to the concept of avidya, ignorance, mistaking the impermanent for the permanent.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest barriers to understanding or experiencing true spiritual reality.
All right, great. Thanks for clarifying that up for us. So we are going to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be back with you in a moment, and then I'll open up for some questions for our listeners out there. So we'll be back shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Starting with the separation from mother, including the labors and tasks of the hero and the return as a whole person. Practice makes perfect only when practice is whole. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. Samadhi, or total consciousness, is experienced by knowing and doing with devotion. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Well, welcome back. And for those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So at this point, I'd like to open up for our listeners out there. If anybody has a question for Swami regarding this energy that just happened last night or any other questions you might have, willing to hear and see what we can do for you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello. Unfortunately, I missed the very, very first minute of the show, so I didn't hear what was the specific significance between the Aries and the Libra with this lunar eclipse.
Sure. Hang on one second. One of the listeners just missed the first minute of the show. Wants to know the significance between the Aries and the Libra and having to do with this eclipse, if you don't mind summarizing that again for us.
Yeah, the Aries-Libra axis is all about I and the other. So it's a really great way of developing our sense of self by using our relationships. Like what surrounds us is within us. Because oftentimes we polarize and we still see ourselves as separate. And this type of exercise is a really great way because a lot of us have a tendency to be way more critical of the other than we are of ourselves. And so you can actually look at those that we bring into our lives, examine them, give them all the advice we think that we need, we think they need to do to improve their lives, and then just read that back to yourself, substituting their name for yours. And oftentimes that's one of the best exercises that I use to help me understand my inner environment, if that helps you.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So in order for us to continue to use these energies that are out there that are happening right now, and you say we have a couple of months, so if we can maintain the focus in what's important to us, and like you say, it's those three magical words, is to put God first, then somebody who may be struggling, you know, with their discipline, with their you know, their path of action, their path of knowledge, their path of devotion, this is a really great time for them to put God first and see what happens in these next couple of months to determine, you know, their measurement of their progress.
Yeah, the whole thing is that the more you understand that God is an energy field, and so when you put it first, you get a return from this energy field that will start to pale everything you knew prior. That's one of the biggest mistakes I think that has occurred in our spiritual communities, is that we don't understand that we get this was called God's help. That you attune yourself to this resource and all of a sudden with it comes benefits. Mm-hmm. And most of us are trying to do it still drawing from either particles or waves, which are very limiting sources of sustenance. And we're trying to muscle our way through it. And then, of course, we think that we're getting credit for our efforts. And the more, you know, it seemed like the more that you suffered, the more credit you were going to get on some level, when in fact it doesn't work like that. It's kind of like, the analogy I always use is the concept of working on a vehicle, a car. That if you have a situation where somebody put the wrong fuel in the car and it isn't running, working on the car, doing all of this work on the car might not necessarily be getting you closer to being able to get what you want, which is to drive around. Being spiritual is not deprivation. It's basically indulgence. The benefits of coming with this connection will pale anything you knew prior. And the first order of business is you want to feel the joy. And when you're connected to something that's pure, it's powerful, it's sacred, it's not going anywhere, it's unchanging. And it is perpetuating this feeling of bliss, wonder, and awe in your inner environment. Then you understand yoga. Mm-hmm. Then you understand what religion was supposed to be. But until then, most of it seems to be a struggle. Like you're abstaining from all of the things that we think are really valuable. When in fact, this change in your value system, all of a sudden what's really important to you now becomes really important to you, then the changes begin to happen.
You reminded me of, there was a saying that happened, I think it was probably about 15 years ago or so, and it was the letters WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I think some people think that when you say put God first, they think of conduct, what would Jesus do? So it's not like I go to the grocery store and a woman cuts me off in the checkout line with a full basket of groceries, and then I have to think, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about conduct or how to talk to people. We're really talking about really getting this energy force into your body, into your mind, or however you want to think of it, and using that as a platform to live by every day. And then, as you say, your everyday world, things that happen to you really become insignificant.
Yeah, they definitely become smaller. It actually becomes the ultimate coping skill. And to just simply, if somebody cuts in front of you at the supermarket, to be able to simply assert yourself and say, excuse me, I was here first, that is very different than if your inner environment is emotionally in turmoil because on some deep psychological level you are traumatized and you feel violated, and then you have a tendency to either repress those feelings or overreact. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you are more internally connected, you're more detached from what's going on in the outside world, but you're also more intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can simply ask for what you want, which is a very Aries thing.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do it unemotionally, because I'm not in danger. You know, even if she does stay there, I'm not going to die. So why is my heart racing, my hands sweating? You know, why is the hair standing up in the back of my neck at this point? Because I can't distinguish between what's imagined and what's real at that point. But the benefit of this internal connection is that all of the things you had to do to achieve it develop you physically and mentally, so that you have your psychological organs are more optimal. They function better. Mm-hmm. You're able to process information through the senses using your mental functions, as opposed to just reacting to situations. But to come back to what you're saying, there's a big difference between the connection and the conduct. And to try and perform the conduct without the connection is, like we always say, it's like trying to get to Portsmouth in your car without starting it up.
I do have a question about what you have written in our summary for our program, and I'm thinking maybe somebody else might need some clarification too. When we at the very end, I had said, join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and the opening of your sun moon center. And there may be people out there that may not understand what the sun moon center is, and of course the process to open that up by what we mean light in your soul.
Well, the sun moon center, that's your third eye center. And so everything that we're doing in Kriya Yoga is involving these vertical leaps. That initially our bodies look for food. So we're using the mouth for validation. We look for food, mother, approval. We're looking for something visible and tangible. Then the next step to that is to make this conversion and then maybe start using air. So you go from the mouth to the nose. But then the next leap of that is changing, going from life-sustaining force number two, air, to life-sustaining force number one, prana. And that would be the opening of the third eye center.
I guess I've always associated your connection to the divinity with your top chakra, your crown chakra. So that, thank you for that clarification.
Well, to answer your question, it is, but you have to achieve it. See, the only access to the crown center is up through the spine. There's only one road that leads to it. Your lower six energy centers have three terminals, because the path of prana is it enters the feminine terminal of your third eye center, touches upon the feminine terminal of your lower six energy centers, and then it switches back and it starts to rise up and it touches upon the masculine, and it exits through the masculine side of your third eye center. So it enters at the moon, but it exits at the sun. And it is the union of descending and ascending prana at the root center that now gives us access to Sushumna, which is the middle road. And that is how you raise it to the crown center. And that's, I think, is a real big misconception, that prana enters the crown center.
Right, thank you for that clarification. And it seems like it's time to start closing down our program for today. So I'd like to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. And don't forget, you can still follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And don't forget the online classes that are still available to you. But be sure to tune in next week. We will discuss how to harvest your spiritual dividends. So thank you, listeners, for tuning in to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.